This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Washington is waiting. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, February 14. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Indications are that President Trump will sign a border security agreement to avoid another shutdown, but he has not offered his full support.
A judge has ruled that former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort lied in violation of his plea deal, and he now faces more prison time.
NASA holds a celebratory wake for the 400-pound Mars rover named Opportunity. Here are some of the robot's key discoveries.
And revisiting Parkland, Florida, 1 year after a mass shooting at a high school took 17 lives.
It's just a really complicated picture a year later. You know, you have, in some regards, people recapturing some semblance of normalcy that they had before. Many people have gone through trauma counseling. They've commemorated those lost. They've grieved. They've come together in all variety of groups.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo Flores paid a visit to Parkland. He's here in about 2 minutes. President Trump is likely to sign the border security legislation that would prevent a government shutdown this weekend, but he's still exploring ways to secure additional funding. The 1,100-page bill finalized last night is expected to be voted on today by the House and Senate. And then it will head to the president's desk for his signature. It includes $1.38 billion for 55 miles of physical barriers along the Mexican border, a lot less than the $5.7 billion Mr. Trump wanted. That's one reason he's given no assurance he'll sign it.
As we review the new proposal from Congress, I can promise you this. I will never waver from my sacred duty to defend this nation and its people. We will get the job done. The wall is very, very on its way. It's happening.
The deal, backed by congressional leaders in both parties, would fund the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees the border, and a group of other federal agencies through September. A federal judge has ruled that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort lied to investigators about his contact with a man the FBI has linked to Russian intelligence. That's despite Mr. Manafort agreeing to a plea deal requiring him to tell the truth. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The judge said the government proved that Mr. Manafort intentionally misled investigators at least 3 times. That means prosecutors don't have to offer him leniency in exchange for his cooperation in the Mueller investigation. Mr. Manafort, already facing at least 8 years, is now exposed to more prison time during sentencing next month. He was convicted of tax and bank fraud in Virginia last year and pleaded guilty in Washington soon after to additional related charges. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The ruling, which also said the government did not persuade the court that Mr. Manafort lied on 2 other issues, is another blow to the longtime political consultant who earned tens of millions of dollars advising politicians in Ukraine. Mr. Manafort now will not receive any credit for his cooperation with prosecutors. As we reach the 1 year mark today of the fatal shootings at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, the city of Parkland, Florida is struggling to heal. The community has grieved and erected memorials. Some families who lost loved ones and students who survived have channeled their anguish into activism. Many have undergone counseling and recaptured a semblance of normalcy. But pain and anger still pour forth regularly. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Ariane Campo Flores. Ariane, what'd you see when you visited?
It's just a really complicated picture a year later. You know, you have, in some regards, people recapturing some semblance of normalcy that they had before. Many people have gone through trauma counseling. You know, they've commemorated those lost. They've grieved. They've come together in all variety of groups. And so in some sense, they've advanced the healing process, but it's still a very raw feeling there, even a year later, because obviously of the gravity of what happened and the difficulty of ever getting over that, but also because there are just, it seems, a constant stream of reminders of just how awful that day was and how messy the aftermath has been. You had just recently the submission of a report that was put together by a state panel convened specifically to investigate the massacre and to analyze what it was that happened and what the lapses were and what the recommendations would be going forward. And it was this, monster report, more than 400 pages, that just outlined a litany of errors in the way, for instance, law enforcement handled the situation with the gunman before the shooting, handled the response to the shooting, and things like that just sort of reopen wounds for people. So it's still a very emotional time for folks in Parkland.
Did you say, too, that there are some folks who are not happy with, say, updated security measures or safety drills that are taking place?
Oh, sure. The whole security response has been so controversial in itself. You know, you have some people, and including a recommendation in the panel report that suggests taking a measure like arming teachers and having teachers participate in the Guardian program that was set up after Parkland under a law that was passed last year. That's a very controversial proposal. There are some people who think that it's necessary, that this is just the reality that we live in. There are other people who are aghast at it and say that this is makes people feel less safe to the thought of teachers now carrying weapons inside the classroom. So it's just been, the security issue has been really, really difficult. The school district has come under fire from a lot of parents who feel that they have not done enough, that they have not responded assertively enough to what needed to be done. And then there are others, who feel like some of these measures are just misguided.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Arian Campo Flores about his piece entitled "A Year After Parkland, Making Sure to Say I Love You at Morning Drop-Off." It's been 1 year since 17 people were killed at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Have the politics here exacerbated things in terms of maybe the pain or the hurt?
At the heart of this, in many ways, is, guns, right? And there are a few issues that are more divisive in our country than guns. That has triggered quite polarized debates in the state. That said, it's something pretty remarkable that in the aftermath of the shooting, because of the strength and the widespread nature of the movement that formed in the aftermath of Parkland, largely led by students, they were able to get legislation passed in a conservative legislature.
Thanks, Arian. Wall Street Journal reporter Arian Campo Flores. Stoneman Douglas, by the way, has a Day of Service and Love planned for today, during which students can participate in service projects. One student plans to pack meals for undernourished children, and a father says he would visit a garden at the school that's become a sort of memorial for the students and staff who were killed. It is 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. The Mars rover named Opportunity is dead after a record 15-year run. NASA made the announcement yesterday after the vehicle failed to communicate for more than 8 months. The space agency said Opportunity, along with its twin rover named Spirit, had unprecedented success. Spirit was declared dead in 2011 after it got stuck in sand and stopped communicating. But Opportunity kept roaming, and in doing so set the record for off-Earth roving distance at a little over 28 miles. Opportunity was instrumental in helping determine that Mars once had liquid water and could have been able to support microbial life. The most durable Mars robot ever has been silent, though, since a dust storm across the whole planet last June encased it in grit. Project manager John Callis.
We were meant to get to this point. you know, to wear these rovers out, to leave behind no unutilized capability on the surface of Mars. But we had no idea it would take this long.
NASA yesterday tweeted, "To the robot who turned 90 days into 15 years of exploration, you were and are the opportunity of a lifetime. Rest well, rover. Your mission is complete." 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Biden Congress is set to resolve its brawl with President Trump as lawmakers prepare to pass a border security compromise that provides a sliver of the billions he's demanded for a wall with Mexico and averts another government shutdown this weekend. Trump insists his wall is being built.
"We will get the job done. The wall is very, very on its way. It's happening as we speak. We're building as we speak."
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it's truly a compromise measure.
"It's a win for the American people. It's a compromise, and that's what appropriators do. And I had confidence that they would, left to their own devices, get the job done."
With Trump's half-hearted signature widely expected but hardly guaranteed, congressional leaders plan votes today on the package. A U.S. district judge has ruled that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort intentionally lied to investigators and a federal grand jury in the special counsel's Russia probe. The decision is another loss for Manafort, a once wealthy political consultant who rose to lead Donald Trump's 2016 campaign and now faces years in prison in two criminal cases brought in special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. The ruling hurts Manafort's chance of receiving a reduced sentence. A Connecticut judge has ruled that InfoWars owner Alex Jones must sit for a deposition by attorneys for the parents of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting victims who are suing him for defamation. Six families and one FBI agent who responded to the shooting filed a lawsuit last year accusing Jones of defamation for calling the 2012 shooting a hoax. 20 children and six adults were killed in the shooting. Jones has repeatedly suggested the shooting wasn't real. The head of FEMA is resigning months after an investigation found he misused government vehicles to travel to his home in North Carolina. Brock Long says he's resigning to spend more time with his family, but he was under investigation by the Homeland Security Department's watchdog. Who slays on the red carpet? According to People magazine, among those who do are Lupita Nyong'o, Emma Stone, Nicole Kidman, and Tracy Ellis Ross. Among musicians, People cites Rihanna and Kacey Musgraves as fashion-forward singers. People also cites Julia Roberts as being a master of the less-is-more approach, while actor-musician Donald Glover is cited for the throwback vibe he brings to fashion.
All right. Making mental notes for the next time I go out.
Your red carpet.
Right.
Yes.
Right, my next red carpet. Yes,
okay.
Indeed. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Financial planners play many roles for their clients, only one of which is managing money. These advisors talk out clients' hopes and dreams, resolve family conflicts, offer career advice, and in some cases, see the first signs of cognitive decline. One of their most important roles is listener. More from MarketWatch personal finance reporter Alessandro Melito. Alessandro, what did they tell you?
I spoke with some financial planners, and financial planners are basically financial advisors, but they are, as the name suggests, looking at the whole picture. So this person knows maybe not all of your secrets, but basically everything that is important to you because you will be using your money for that kind of stuff. So I spoke with financial planners about what they talk about with their clients aside from, you know, budgets and things like that. And they said that sometimes they're acting like a therapist or a counselor, especially with couples, because couples don't always see eye to eye when it comes to how they spend their money or how they save their money. And of course that, you know, continues all the way into retirement. They also act as a career coach. So some clients will come to them and say, you know, I'm really not happy with my job. I want to get a new job or I want to start a business. And they kind of act as the sounding board for that. You know, is this really what you want? Are you, like, would you be happy if the business failed and you had to repay any of those loans or, you know, make up your savings again?
We're speaking with Alessandro Melito, retirement reporter at MarketWatch, about her story entitled "This Person Knows All Your Secrets and It's Not Your Shrink or Spouse," and she's referencing here financial advisors. Have they always had this role, by the way, or is this sort of a new development over the past few years?
I think it really depends on the type of financial advisor you go to. So the people that I was speaking with are financial planners or certified financial planners, and they have a certification that requires them to act in their client's best interest. So when they talk to their clients about managing money, they're not just talking about a specific investment or a portfolio. They're talking about their retirement. They're talking about, you know, college funds. They're talking about buying a home or selling a home. So they're looking at everything. And I think they are taking this role on, they're taking all of these roles on more and more.
That's really something. Very good. And knowing all this information, I guess, comes out of asking good questions too, I believe.
Absolutely.
Because you need to know this stuff to be a good financial planner or advisor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They are, everybody I've spoken to, or almost everybody I've spoken to, has said, of the financial planners, I mean, they've said that one of their most important roles is being a listener, because they have to hear out what their clients' hopes and dreams are, what their fears are, if they have any issues or conflicts with their families, and, you know, they have to listen about work, all that.
That's MarketWatch personal finance reporter Alessandra Melito. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Grainger stands for safety, and they know what safety stands for. S, safety. A, all about safety. F, feeling good about safety. E, extreme safety. T, talking about safety. Y, you guessed it, safety. First aid kits, eyewash stations, fire protection, you name it. For over 90 years, they've been helping to keep facilities safe and people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your BACK. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
No one compliments you when their paycheck is correct, but make one mistake and you risk alienating your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, February 14. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Washington waits to see if Trump will sign a measure to keep the government running. 1 year anniversary of the school shooting in Parkland, Florida. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker has been asked to clarify testimony. William Barr expected to be confirmed as the new AG today. NASA bids farewell to a Mars rover that has not communicated since June. And a survey for Valentine's Day explores whether we marry for love or money. That story in about 20 minutes. Could we ever have real, cost-effective, efficient, high-speed rail in the U.S.? As Business Insider points out, American trains are too expensive to build and run like antiques compared to the rest of the world. Cost overruns and a lack of political will mean Americans will be sitting in highway gridlock for the foreseeable future. And California's slashing of its ambitious plan to link San Francisco and Los Angeles is the latest example of the U.S. falling behind. Analysis from tech analyst Rob Enderle, founder of The Enderle Group. Rob, why is it so hard for us?
Well, part of it is the amount of regulation and bureaucracy you have to go through to put in a rail system. The other is a lot of the times you're going through a fairly circuitous route between cities, or you've got a lot of distance between the cities, which makes the rail line far more expensive, and it makes it very hard to get to high speed. So really, ideally, you want a high-speed rail to go straight, relatively short distances, and then have government support to get you through all the bureaucratic nonsense. Here, because of the nature of the country, you know, separate states, separate governments, unions, government bureaucracy, safety, ecological issues, it is wicked expensive to build something on the ground. And the geography just doesn't lend itself very well to rail. So the end result is we just haven't been able to fund it. Now, I should add the other thing is we kind of semi-turned the rail system that existed in the country into a utility that was regulated, and the end result is we didn't get the kind of development or advancement we've seen in the air. So it's been kind of a combination of just the way we are and the blunders and costs of dealing with the U.S. government.
Well, you know, Europe's been doing this for a long time and doing it well. Same, I think, for Japan.
Yep.
I mean, even Morocco now.
China. I think we were the world leader in railroads. Arguably, when we entered the last century, I think you could argue China right now is, with regard to this venture, I think you could argue they've passed Japan with things like maglev, because they've got two maglev rails in, and of course nobody else has any. So it's been a while since we were even close to dominant, and we're pretty much the laughing stock of the rest of the developed world. And, you know, the high-speed rail that they were talking about putting in here in California was kind of more like medium speed.
Okay.
It wasn't going to be all that fast. And it would have been comparatively obsolesced by trains that Japan had put in probably 20 years ago. So it wasn't a great system. Now, there was a lot of hope that they might flip over to Elon Musk, the Hyperloop, but that doesn't seem to go anyplace. I think with this being killed now, there is a chance they might reconsider and try something like Hyperloop. But it's pretty embarrassing that the first implementations of Hyperloop are probably going to be in Dubai and not in the United States, just once again showcasing how hard it is to get anything built here, even though it was focused on benefiting the U.S. market.
We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. We're talking about high-speed rail. You know, this is also interesting because the New York City Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others who've embraced this new Green Deal see, you know, rail as, in their minds, hopefully replacing air travel at some point. I mean, you think about
with the right government support, it could. The problem is nobody can seem to get the right government support. I mean, I have a story years ago while Walt Disney wanted to do a monorail in Anaheim from Disneyland to the L.A. airport, and the estimate, the budget for doing it was $3 million. The government spent $9 million proving that it wasn't going to be economical. So it's like they could have built it. Yeah. They could have built three of them for the cost they put into determining that it wasn't going to generate money, and it probably would have generated money. So that was all fixable. So it just shows you how difficult it is to deal with government. You know, the consultants, the union difficulties, the people that you have to conceivably pay off to get even through the process is just so onerous that by the time you actually start laying rail, you probably dropped the majority of the money that you had to build the thing.
You have any sense or confidence that rail travel will ever go next level in the U.S.?
Well, if they find a way to reduce the cost of doing it, certainly the current generation rail, particularly things like maglev, show a lot of potential. And Hyperloop, though, that's pretty advanced. Also, is a much less expensive way on paper to drop in something that is high speed, and it's far higher speed than anything else that's out there on paper.
Thanks, Rob. Tech analyst Rob Enderle of the Enderle Group. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, this refund is the stuff of dreams as we all file our tax returns, but it also means we should realize that it's too good to be true. It took a little time, but the IRS eventually realized it had a problem after it issued a refund check for $980,000 to a Florida man who claimed only about $18,000 in income for the 2016 tax year. According to the Tampa Bay Times, a Tampa man submitted self-prepared tax papers in early 2017, listing himself as a freelancer and included W-2 forms from jobs at a nursing home and a sizzling platter restaurant. For some reason, one of the forms showed that $1 million in federal income tax was withheld from his pay. And somehow, the U.S. Treasury sent the 29-year-old a refund check for $980,000. The man allegedly used the cash to open a money market account and buy a Lexus.
Uh-oh.
After the IRS discovered the problem, an agent took custody of the luxury car and recovered more than $900,000 of the money.
Mm.
I have to say, though, opening up the money market account, that was kind of a smart, sensible
yes.
thing to do
yes.
with that money. Didn't, you know, just go out and blow the whole million, which is obviously
right.
very easy to do
yeah.
if you wanted to. And it's been a couple years. So, you know, it was a relatively sensitive way, or, you know, smart way to spend that money, it seems like.
For a 29-year-old.
Right.
Yeah. I think he probably should have done a little more research on that and just sat on the money for like 6 months just
yeah.
to see what would happen.
Yeah.
You know, and now if he were 70,
yeah,
off to Mexico,
right?
And see ya.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You know, you could probably make that money last. You know, if you were to
right.
go south of the border,
I
but at 29, I think you need to be a little more, I don't know, a little more conservative at the, at the outset to make this money work for you.
Right, right. I think you need to know that somebody's going to come knocking on your door eventually.
Yeah, hold off on the Lexus. Give that, give that like a year.
Yeah, that that kind of mistake is not going to go unnoticed.
Just drive your old Honda Civic for just a couple more years.
And if you're a huge baseball fan, spending the weekend hanging out with Jose Canseco might be worth $5,000 to you. And possibly seeing Bigfoot or an alien along the way might be priceless. That's what the former slugger is apparently hoping after tweeting this week that anyone who is willing to part with $5,000 is eligible to go on a Bigfoot and alien excursion with him. The 54-year-old texted out a phone number for a management company to call if you're interested. The Huffington Post did just that and were sent back a text message with details, which read that only five lucky individuals will, quote, get a golden ticket and that Oompa Loompas ain't got nothing on Bigfoot.
Okay.
You'll get a chance to travel in Canseco's custom RV to authentic alien sightings and proven Bigfoot habitats, camp out in the wild, tell stories, and maybe even meet a real Bigfoot. Food is also included in the deal. The response said the first excursion was almost full already. Naturally, social media had some strong responses about the pitch, with some speculating that the baseball that infamously bounced off the slugger's head and over the fence for a home run may have done more damage than previously thought.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it seems like we were talking about this off air. It seems like every once in a while, Jose might be worried that not enough people are paying attention to him. So, you know, he comes out with a book or he does something kind of outlandish like this. It seems like every year or so, something like this happens with Jose.
Perhaps short on cash.
That also might be a possibility.
So, do you have to travel in his custom RV? Or could I bring my own car?
So you're thinking you might just meet him there.
Yeah.
Look, Jose, I want to see an alien or Bigfoot as much as you do, but I'll meet you in the woods, buddy.
And to be clear, these are authentic alien sightings?
I don't know what exactly authenticity that means.
And is his Victoria's Secret model daughter coming along for, say, selfies? More questions that need answers. 13 minutes in front of the hour. With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where my data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your info. That's why I decided to take back my privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Gordon. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. They may be tasty, but so-called ultra-processed foods are not what the doctor ordered. And now a new study from France suggests that ultra-processed foods may increase the risk of early death. Want to dial back your consumption of this stuff? CNN put together some tips. Number one, start slowly. There's no need to go cold turkey today. Going slowly, in fact, improves your odds of forming a better eating habit. Number two, supplement your meals with fresh foods. Try adding a banana or apple at breakfast or as a snack or a vegetable at lunch. Number three, fewer sugar-sweetened beverages, more water. And if you get tired of water, try carbonated water or adding fruit to water for flavor. And number four, stop adding salt to foods. Add garlic or pepper instead. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a federal judge has accepted the argument by federal prosecutors that Paul Manafort continued to lie to special counsel Robert Mueller's team after signing a plea agreement, a ruling that means the one-time Trump campaign chairman could face more prison time when he is sentenced next month. The judge determined that the Office of Special Counsel is no longer bound by its obligations under the plea agreement. Prosecutors accused Manafort of lying to federal investigators over over the course of 12 interviews after he had already struck a plea agreement. Lawmakers have completed writing a border security bill that's expected to deny President Trump's request for $5.7 billion to help build a border wall, with a Senate and House expected to vote on the bill today. Without the legislation, about a quarter of federal government agencies would be forced into a partial shutdown for lack of operating funds. Trump has not yet said he would sign the measure, but yesterday appeared to be edging toward backing the deal. The Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School massacre a year ago renewed the national debate on guns and school safety, but turned some victims' parents and surviving students into political activists. But today's anniversary in Parkland, Florida, will primarily be about remembering the 14 students and three staff members who died. An interfaith service will be held at a park near the school to remember the victims. A former U.S. Air Force counterintelligence agent who defected to Iran has been charged with spying for the regime, revealing the identity of a U.S. intelligence officer and helping target her former colleagues. The Justice Department says Monica Witt, who had access to sensitive information in her work for the Air Force and later as a defense contractor, gave away the name and mission of a secret Defense Department intelligence program after defecting to Iran in 2013. NASA's Opportunity, the Mars rover that was built to operate for just 3 months but kept going and going, was pronounced dead yesterday, 15 years after it landed on the planet. NASA project manager John Callis.
Our brought us to last night, we set our final commands, and we heard nothing, and so it comes time to say goodbye.
The six-wheeled vehicle helped gather critical evidence that ancient Mars might have been hospitable to life until 8 months ago, when it was finally doomed by a dust storm.
Do you think we've heard the last of Opportunity?
I think this is it.
You think this is it?
Yeah, it's not going to come back now. Oh, nope. You think it's going to have a resurgence?
He's had some durability, I must say.
Reborn.
And some longevity.
All right.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. How about a study of love and money for Valentine's Day? MarketWatch wrote about new research by Merrill Lynch that found some 56% of Americans say they want a partner who provides financial security more than head-over-heels love. The reason for choosing money over love, according to the study? Lack of financial planning. And even though they want partners with certain socioeconomic status or someone who made some smart investments, they typically discuss other issues ahead of finances, like meeting their prospective in-laws, being intimate, traveling together, and politics. Financial security was a big factor in choosing to get married at all. Never married adults with family incomes under $75,000 are more likely to say that not being financially secure is a major reason they are not married. And just 21% of those with incomes of $75,000 or higher say that. And wealthier couples, by the way, don't necessarily last longer than those who earn less. A separate study found the more you spend on a wedding ceremony, the shorter the marriage. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.